Hey, welcome to Hope City's podcast. We're so excited that you chose to listen to us, and we hope you enjoy today's message.
The Influence series. If you've got your scriptures, your Bibles, or your phones, take them out. We're going to be looking at Matthew 6, 5 through 8 today. We're in this series of really Matthew 5 through 7, which is known as the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus preached his first sermon. And he really laid out some really clear ideas of what we needed to do. A couple weeks ago, Pastor Sheree talked to us about what it looked like and the importance of loving our enemies. And I love what Pastor Sheree said. It's easy to love people who are like us and who we love and who are lovable. A lot harder to love people who are our enemies. And that's what Jesus said. He turned this thing upside down and he said, you are called to love your enemies. And that's exactly what he started out. This idea of loving God and loving others is so important. Then last week, Pastor Paula challenged us to never pick up the megaphone. Let everyone else shout our good deeds, but don't ever pick up that megaphone. Jesus said that in Matthew. And what I love about the Sermon on the Mount is Jesus is so clear on what we need to know. There's no question. When you read in Scripture, the things that are non-negotiable, things that we need to know, how many of you know when you get into Scripture and the red words are there, those are Jesus' words? So it's super important that we pay a lot of attention. And whatever a person says first is really very important. And this was Jesus speaking first. It was his first sermon, and he laid out some important ideas. The ideas that he laid out would have completely challenged the religious folks at that time. The Sadducees, the Pharisees, this would have turned upside down. Because what the Pharisees and Sadducees focused on is how could they look good in front of other people. The Bible said they were whitewashed tombs. I mean, they look good, really good on the outside, but they're terrible on the inside. And what Jesus was doing, he was calling them out to say, listen, if you say you're a Christian, this is what it looks like to live as a Christian. Not just talking about it, but putting our actions behind it. He laid this out. In red words, it's a good idea to pay attention when Jesus spoke. And throughout the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus completely would turn upside down the belief systems of that day. And I love this because I think what we always have to be willing to do is say, Jesus, look at what I believe, and if it doesn't line up with your word, help me to line up my beliefs with your word. What Jesus preached was countercultural. Today, we still have to match our belief systems and our actions up to God's word to make sure that we're living like Jesus called us to live. If you're living outside of God's word and it's different than God's word, I want to challenge you. Say, God, what does your word say about this? And then line your life up to that. That's where you're going to find the most blessing is when you step into that. In our portion of scripture today, Jesus starts to teach us about prayer. And I want to tell you something. God loves you so much. I want you to let that sink into your heart. And really, I want you to believe that. No matter where you've been, no matter what you've done, God's love for you is so great. How do we know? Because he sent his only son. Jesus came and he died on a cross so that we would have a way to salvation. God loves you. Do you know how you connect to that love? It's through prayer. When you communicate with God. When you take a moment. And prayer is one of the most simplest yet powerful tools that God's given us. One of the first questions that people as new believers ask is, how should I pray? What do I need to say? Is it about all these eloquent words? Is there statements I need to make? Like, what is it that I need to do? And I want to dig into that a little bit today. Some of you might say, well, oh, I know how to pray. Like, okay, I got this. And it might seem simple. But some of the greatest truths in Scripture that have the most powerful impact on our lives are simple. And it's a good reminder. It's a good reminder to dig in and say, God, what's important to you? Help me to know. It's also the first question that new believers ask is, how should I pray? That's what the group of people were asking Jesus. How should we pray? Like, what do we need to say? What do we need to do? And as Jesus dug into this, that's what he answered. He answered those questions. This is a good question to ask. And some people say, well, especially when it seems like God's not answering my prayer, what do I need to say? Is there a formula? Like, what do I need to do so that God hears me? I want to tell you, the minute you come before God, he always hears you. He's always there. Don't ever wonder if he doesn't hear you. He hears you. How do I know? Because he made the way so that we could communicate heart to heart. Because he loves us. He created us. And what my fear is that we don't spend any time with him. And when we spend time with him and we pray, that's when communication with God happens. God is all about a relationship with you. He wants to be your friend. I challenge you, if you don't see God as a friend, that's the first step. Because some people see God as somebody who's always going to come down on them. Or some people see God as somebody that's always looking to condemn them. That is not who God is. The Holy Spirit will convict us, but God desires to love and to have relationship with us, and it happens in prayer. This message could seem very simplistic and one that you may already know, but I'd venture to say that we all need a good reminder of what the priority of prayer needs to be in our lives. I would say this, if people knew how powerful prayer is, we'd do a lot more of it. I think it's the simple cornerstone of our Christian life. And there are people, could you imagine if you're married and you have a wife or a husband and you don't talk to them for months? What kind of a marriage would you have? But there are people that go and they don't talk to God for months until they get into trouble. And so when we're looking at this, this is my challenge. This is what Jesus said. Here's how you need to pray. You have to make prayer a priority in your life. And it can't be a chore. And it can't be something you have to mark off on your timeline. Oh, I got a sticker today because I prayed. Okay? That's not what we're talking about here. This is something that I challenge you to look at from the perspective of, man, I can't live without prayer. It's like water. It's like literally, if I don't eat, I'm going to die. And I think that's the same in our prayer life with the Lord. I'm not a big water fan. In fact, I hate water, right? I don't like it, okay? I'll do anything but drink water. But I have to drink water because if you're not hydrated, you're in trouble. It's the same in our prayer life. Our prayer is like hydration. It literally hydrates our inner soul when we pray and we communicate with God. And it amazes me when you look at how tiny we are. A lot of us, we think that we're the center of the universe, but really we're not, okay? When you look at the universe, we are a tiny speck. But the God of the universe loves us so much, each one of us individually, that he wants to have relationship with us. And that's exactly what Jesus says. And he's saying to us, it's amazing that we can have a face-to-face conversation with God where we can talk to him and he talks to us. Communication with God is one of the greatest gifts that he's given us. And I want to tell you, when you love someone, it's never a chore to take time to talk with them and build a relationship. So you go back into the Old Testament, and Moses modeled what this would look like to us, okay? When you look at Exodus 33:11, now keep this in mind, because I'm going to read it, and then pair it up to when we read Matthew 6:5-8. Here it is, Exodus 33:11. Inside the tent of meeting, the Lord, and remember, whenever you run across, and it's not here in the text this way, but whenever you run across a capital L-O-R-D like that, you can go back in the Greek, and that means a God who keeps his promise, okay? So let's say it like this. Inside the tent of meeting, the God who keeps his promises would speak to Moses face to face as one speaks to a friend. This literally stops me in my tracks. I go, because God desires to have a friendship with us. It's a friendship connection. Afterward, Moses would return to the camp, but the young man who assisted him, Joshua, son of Nun, would remain behind in the tent of meeting. God spoke to Moses face to face, like literally as a friend. So when you look at prayer, it's communicating as a friendship. It's like talking to a friend. So you don't have to be all eloquent, and you don't have to worry about having the right words and the right statements. It'd be like you and I sitting down over a cup of coffee and just talking. That's what God desires, a prayer relationship with you. That's what prayer is. It's talking to a friend. It's not something we only do when we're in an emergency. There are people that look at prayer as a last resort. Okay? They'll say this, I've tried everything there is to do. Now I guess all I have left to do is pray. How crazy is that statement? Because here's the thing. We have to pray first. I'm going to challenge you, pray first, because what we do is we say, okay, I'm going to plan everything, I'm going to make my plans, I'm going to do what I want to do, and then I'll ask God to step in and help me when it goes sideways. But here's a better way. How about we start with God and say, God, what's your plan? What do you want me to know about this? And bless this situation. That's where we start. We start with prayer. Whenever you're in a moment where you don't know what to do, pray. Whenever you're in a moment where life seems to be turning upside down, pray. God sees everything that's ahead of you, and he knows the best path forward. We can't make God our last resort. We have to make God our first stop, and it happens in prayer. Or how about many of you, how many of you have a friend that only calls you when they need something? Anybody had a friend like that? They only call you when they need something. How good of a friend is that? Not very, right? And there, we treat God the same way sometimes. We only call him when we need him. Imagine what God must think when we do that to him, especially when that becomes a pattern in our life. Moses spent regular time getting alone with God. So a prayer life that's alive, one, you have to spend regular time. You have to set aside time every day and say, God, I'm going to spend time with you. In fact, I would challenge you, pray for about 20 minutes in the morning. Make that the first thing you do. Ask God to bless your day. Ask God to walk alongside of you. And at the end of the day, as you get ready to close out the day, take time to spend time with God, thanking him for what he's done. Moses spent regular time. He was a great example of what Jesus was about to teach the people at the Sermon on the Mount. And whenever you talk about prayer in the Bible, you see this same pattern over and over again, where we spend regular time with God and we get on our knees and we call out to him and we communicate with him. As we walk through life, we need to be reminded that God always answers prayer. Some people don't pray because they believe God doesn't answer prayer. Somewhere you've learned that God doesn't answer your prayers. And I want to tell you, God always answers prayers in one of three ways. Yes, which we love. Two, he answers it no, which none of us likes that. And then the third way, which is pretty hard sometimes, is wait. How many of you like to wait? If we have to wait for 3 minutes in the Starbucks line, we're mad, right? Americans are not good at waiting. But I want to tell you, if he says no, it's for your protection. Because he loves you enough to say, if you push this door open, you're going to get into trouble. There's something on the other side that you may not see. Just this week, we had a situation where we were asking God, show us what we needed to do. That was our prayer. Show us what we need to do. Because it was a big deal, and God said no. In fact, he even said no so clearly because we put out a fleece and said, God, if this is this way, then that's the no. And so he said no. And we trust him. We're not going to push that door open. Some of us, when God says no, we try to push the door open. There's a reason why God's closing that door. Trust him in that. When he says wait, when you've prayed and you feel like you're in a waiting period, here's what you need to know about waiting periods. Is God's working behind the scenes while you're waiting. God's working on your behalf. He's already putting everything in order and in plan. And just wait on him because it'll be perfect. And I would rather wait 5 days to have the right thing than try to push forward in the wrong thing and get hurt. So don't get upset when God says wait or he says no. And don't ever walk away saying, God didn't answer my prayers. Because God always answers prayers. It may not be the way we want him to answer it, but he always answers prayer. Some people don't pray because they're afraid of him saying no. But just know, if he says no, I honestly, you might think I'm weird, but I honestly appreciate the no's and the waits more than I do the yes's. You might go, that's weird, Pastor. Well, but you know what? It's protecting me. Like, that's his greatest protection. Like, he's not going to let me do something that's not of him or that I'm going to get in danger or I'm going to get hurt. He loves me that much. So as we dig into Matthew 6, 5 through 8, Jesus begins to talk to us about prayer. And he says this, when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites who love to pray publicly on street corners and in the synagogues where everyone can see them. I tell you the truth, that is all the reward they will ever get. What Jesus was saying is this. Don't try to make it look publicly like you have a relationship with God when you don't have one privately. That's the hypocrite word. Don't try to make it look like to other people so that, oh, they're so spiritual. Listen to that wonderful prayer. And you know behind the scenes and on a personal level, you have no relationship with God. That's what Jesus was saying. It was not about prayer at that moment. It was about relationship, and it was about communication with God. And what these guys did is they'd stand out, and they would wax eloquently on the street corner and then live completely different. What God is saying is what Jesus was saying is your words have to match up to your actions. That's why he called them out. He said, you hypocrites, because hypocrites are you say one thing and you live completely different. I tell you the truth, that's all the reward they will ever get. But when you pray, go away by yourself, shut the door behind you, and pray to your Father in private. Go to your tent of meeting, just like Moses did. Then your Father, who sees everything, will reward you. When you pray, don't babble on and on as Gentiles do. They think their prayers are answered merely by repeating their words again and again. God, if I just say it 500 times, then you're going to do it. I'm going to babble. Like, just look, I think it's so interesting. They think their prayers are answered merely by repeating their words again and again. Don't be like them, for your Father knows exactly what you need even before you ask him. It's powerful. You think about this for just a minute. Like, it shows you God's love, where he already has everything taken care of. So there's a couple of key points when we pray. First of all, pray in private. I challenge you this next week, find a place where you can get alone with God. Put away your cell phones, put away all the noise, put away all the distractions, and just sit at his feet and listen. Just sit at his feet. Listen. And some of us, we get nervous when there's too much time with no noise. Why is that? Because God might be trying to deal with something in our lives. Take some time where you can get alone with God. The first thing Jesus addressed, and we talked about this a little bit, is the hypocrites who love to pray publicly so that everyone can see them. Jesus isn't saying that you shouldn't pray publicly. He's calling them out for not having a private relationship with God. Their focus was on what people thought of them and how well they prayed in public, not on how deep and how great a relationship and how connected they were with God. It's exactly why you don't have to worry about what people are going to think of your prayers. When you get called out to pray in public, you're like, oh, I can never do that. Oh, like, I might say the wrong words. There are no wrong words. There's no wrong words when you pray. Just do it. Whatever comes out, trust God and trust him to know that he's given you the words. Do not be afraid to pray in public. God is not saying you're not supposed to pray in public. So if you're in our prayer circles, every morning at 9:15, we have prayer here in the worship center for our services that day. And don't ever come back to me and say, well, God said I'm not supposed to pray in public if I call you out, okay? Because that's not what God was saying. He's saying line up your life. Make sure it matches in private like you're saying it does in public. God's desire is to have our undivided attention, and he calls us to step away from all the distractions for a few minutes every day. Get a war room. Get this room in your house where you can just get alone with him. Don't be afraid to spend some time with him. The other thing about God is, one of the things about prayer is that you can be connected to him all day long. I had a great example of this where, how many of you remember the old dial-up? Like, you get your computer and it'd be like, it'd take forever. You couldn't even download a video. I mean, nothing. It'd come on a disc, the AOL disc. I mean, remember those times? Maybe I'm just a little bit older. If you don't remember them, you can thank God for it, because that means you have DSL. But some people view our prayer lives as that. We're like, okay, well, I guess I'm going to dial up to God now. And like, okay, no, you do not have to dial up to God. I view God in prayer like DSL, where you can be connected to him 24 hours a day. Wherever you go, wherever you have to make a decision, stop and pray. Ask God to help you. Ask God to walk along. I firmly believe that if you're not spending time alone with God, where you can focus on praying with no distraction, you're never going to learn to listen to God's voice. Every one of us in this room, that one of the most important things that we can do is learn to listen to God's voice. Learn how he speaks to you. Learn to listen where it's a two-way relationship. Not you just you doing all the speaking, but you're allowing God to speak back to you. Okay? Sometimes people don't hear what God is saying. How many of you like to ask your kids to do things 5 different times? Right? You're like, okay. Are the parents to go, okay, well, I'm going to count to five, and if you haven't done it by then, don't do that, because the car could hit them by the time you count to five. Like, so we don't, like, no counting to five, okay? 1, 2, 3, 3.5, 3 3/4, 4, right? We had a saying in our house, and our kids would tell you this first time every time, and that's what God wants you to do. Get alone with him. Spend some time where there's no distractions. If you haven't learned to listen to God in the quiet times, it's going to be difficult to hear him in the emergency moments. Moses modeled that when he got alone with God. But if you haven't heard God's voice for a long time, go back to the last time he spoke to you and make sure that you were obedient to what he told you to do. It's an important aspect of this. When you get alone with God, he still speaks to us like a friend. He doesn't speak to you in a way, and some people are afraid of God. Like, God's just going to, like, I mean, he's going to come after me. He's going to, like, we have this view of God, not as a friend, but as somebody who, I don't know, but he's a friend. So he's going to come along and he's going to speak to you. Like, God would never say, hey, stupid, you need to do this different. That's probably your dad speaking. That's not God. So listen, because God speaks in a small, still, quiet voice. And if he's yelling at you, I just want to tell you something. If God's yelling at you, okay, in the Bible, that's not a good sign. So you don't want, like, if God's not going to yell at you, get alone with him, though. Jesus made a big statement in the sermon when he said, your father who sees everything will reward you. You can't hide from God. He sees everything. That's why he can call us out like he does. He sees our heart. He sees us in private. Jesus reminded us this. He reminded this last week to us, too. Make a daily goal to get away with God and go into a place where there are no distractions. He desires to be close to you and have an incredible relationship with you. It'll change your life. Point number two, key number two, there's no formula for prayer. So it's not saying the same words over and over again. There's no A plus B equals C. There's no formula for prayer, okay? Well, if I just prayed the right prayer, then God's going to answer. Matthew 6:7, Jesus said this, when you pray, don't babble on as the Gentiles do. They think their prayers are answered merely by repeating their words again and again. In fact, I think getting before the Lord and saying the same thing over and over and over again, he's like, okay, let's move on to something a little bit different, right? Because he wants a relationship with you. There's no formula. Knowing mankind, if there was a formula for prayer, we'd put our trust in the formula, not in God. Here's the other thing is you don't have to beg God to answer your prayers. You don't have to beg. There's some people that feel like they have to beg God. They have to get before him. Listen, the Bible tells us to boldly approach the throne of God. And when you have a relationship with him that way, you can ask him for bold things. You can go before him and say, God, I'm going to trust you for bold things. You don't have to come and beg him. Go as a son and a daughter who has an inheritance of a God and a friend who loves you. There are going to be times when you don't even have the words to speak to God, but you just want to sit in his presence and listen and let God speak over your life. And it's okay to be quiet. We can't always be talking at God. We need to talk with God. Have that relationship where we're talking with him and we let him speak to us. If God speaks to you about something, be obedient right away. Remember, delayed obedience is what? Disobedience. Well, I got to see if this is really you, God. I'm going to put out 5 fleeces. Delayed obedience is disobedience. So when God tells you to do something, go and do it right away. The Christian walk is more about action, not just sitting around talking about it. When you pray, it's coupling action with what God you've just prayed. How much action do you think the Gentiles were talking as they babbled on? I don't think there was much action. I also challenge you, if God speaks to you and you don't like the answer he gives you, don't keep asking him the same question, hoping to get another answer. Well, I'll ask maybe for the 20th time to see if God's changed his mind, right? Chances are that's not going to happen. No matter how many words you use, God is going to tell you the same thing. There's no formula to prayer that will manipulate God to answer you. I've heard it said before, if I only would have prayed the right words, maybe God would have listened to me, and it's simply not the truth. Don't ever let the enemy convince you that God didn't hear or that God didn't do what you asked him to do. You know, I hear this a lot with people who have prayed for loved ones that have died. They prayed and they believed God and they said, hey, you know what, I'm believing for this miracle to happen, and that loved one died. That does not mean that God did not answer their prayers. That does not mean that God didn't answer your prayer. In fact, it means that God answered it perfectly. Newsflash, none of us get out of here alive. So even like Lazarus, he died, okay? The greatest miracle is salvation. When you pray for somebody, you have to be okay with the fact of God taking that person home, okay? Where they were given a new body, where they were given completely healed. Like, don't ever sit there and think God didn't answer your prayer. It may not have been exactly the way you wanted it, but it was what was best for them. And so trust God enough to say, okay, God, I trust you. It has nothing to do with the prayer you prayed. In fact, God did exactly what you prayed for. It was just different than you expected. It was not you. And sometimes we forget, we stop and we just say, God, like, you didn't hear me when I prayed, and that is just not the truth. I can assure you, God heard your cry, and it wasn't about the words you used or the lack of words. It was exactly what he wanted to do. Trust him. And here's the thing. When we pray, we have to trust God with the outcome. because he's a friend. He's going to do what's best. Trust him with the outcome. Say, God, however you choose to deal with this situation, I trust you. I trust you. I know that you see way farther ahead. Don't be disappointed when God works different than what we expect. See, what we like to do is we like to pray and then tell God what to do and how to fix things. We're fixers, okay? And God goes, I don't need your help. All I need is your relationship and your friendship, and we'll get this figured out together. Here's the other thing. Don't ask God in prayer to do something that you don't believe he can do. Say it again. I know you guys are so quiet. Don't ask God to do something you don't believe he can do. You have to couple your prayer with belief, and you'll see God do incredible things. Point number three, God knows what we need. And I love this, Matthew 6:8. Before you pray, God knows what you need. Don't be like them, for your Father knows exactly what you need even before you ask him. God never wakes up and goes, man, I didn't see that coming today. Whoa, I'm shocked. God knew it. He knows what's coming. You may not know, but God knows. He knows what's coming. Trust him. Because listen, if there's something coming, then guess what? He's going to help you through it. He's not going to leave you. Because we serve a God who wants to love us like a friend. God knows what you need before you ask him. And I love this promise. It's not about the words that you use. It's not about the ability to wax eloquently and say the right prayer and the best prayer. God doesn't sit up in heaven and go, hold up a number. Well, that's a 9 out of 10 prayer. That's pretty good. I think I'm going to move on that situation. Oh, that one, that's only a 4 out of 10. Whoa. God doesn't do that. He loves you so much that he just wants to connect. He's never surprised by what's going on in our lives. Things may take us by surprise, but they never take God by surprise. No matter how bad things look, you can trust that God knows exactly what you need. Prayer is also aligning our will with God's will. The more time we spend with God in prayer is the more that our will align with his will. It's also about trusting God and trusting the outcome for the situation that you're facing. If God already knows what you need before you pray, why do we pray then? If you peek ahead in Matthew 6:9, Jesus tells us to pray for all of our needs. In 1 Thessalonians 5:17, God commands us to pray continually without ceasing. Hebrews 4:16 tells us that prayer is the way that we receive what we need from him, all in relationship, all in friendship. Like, that's the level that God wants to have with you. God created prayer so that we could have communication in a two-way relationship where he talks to you and we talk to him. And because God already knows what you need, you don't have to beg him. He's already working on your behalf. It's important that we also approach God with a grateful and thankful heart. I think that's the best way to start out our prayers. Lord, thank you for what you've already done. Lord, thank you for what you've already laid out. Because here's what it does, is it reminds your spirit too of what God has already done. We need a reminder sometimes because it's easy to forget the past and remember that God has always walked beside you. Approach God with a grateful and a thankful heart. Gratitude moves the hand of God. When you say, God, thank you for what you've done. And we also have to be careful that our prayer time doesn't turn into a complaint session with God. Like, God, like start complaining. The Israelites did that all the time. They would complain to God about where they were at. And I think you just say, God, here's what the situation is. Here's what the needs are. And God, I'm going to praise you through it. I'm going to stay with you in prayer, God. It's like what David did. He realized where he was at, but then he would always turn it around and say, hey, this is where I'm at, but this is what I know about God. And in our prayer time, that's what we can hold on to. It's a powerful statement, and Jesus is going to teach us. Next week, we're going to look at the Lord's Prayer. One of my favorite, there are times in life when all I've been able to pray is the Lord's Prayer, and it is powerful. I can't wait. It's going to be next week. You don't want to miss that, the Lord's Prayer, where he taught us the model of prayer. It's so powerful. But guys, this week, I want to challenge you. Take some time with God. Get alone. Some of you haven't talked to him for a long time. And it's just been that emergency prayer. It's been like just when you had a couple seconds. I want to challenge you to make it a time where you line up your heart with God's heart.
Thank you again for joining us. We want to give a special shout out to those who pour into the mission here at Hope City. If you want to give to what we're doing, you can find us at myhopecity.church/give. Again, we are so excited that you chose to join us, and we hope you have a great rest of your day.